If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in the Gospel of Luke. This is Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 15. Luke chapter 8 and reading verses 1 to 15. And hear now the word of God. Soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town to town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing will fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, those are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. May God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, it's amazing, as we look at the calendar, it's already June. I mean, it's already June 9. And I know that there are farmers and gardeners right now that are watching the calendar, because we've had a lot of rainy weather and a lot of issues that have come up that make it very difficult to get the seed planted in the ground. It's very hard. We live in as many of you know, we live out in Spring Creek, North Carolina. It's about 45 minutes from here. And because of that, we're surrounded by farmers. We're surrounded by fields. And we look at the fields now, and there are those who have plowed their fields, and they've gotten everything ready, but they're waiting until the tractors can get in there because the ground has been so muddy and they've not been able to plant as much as they want to. Always an issue, always a hard time. I know for the gardeners that are here, those that have gardens, you know that there's a rule of thumb in this area that basically says that you should plant your seed by Mother's Day, that you should get it in the ground by Mother's Day so that you can have vegetables and whatever in the middle of summer. I ran into some people the other day. We were talking about this, and they say, you know, we've learned in this area not to do it on Mother's Day, but to wait at least until June 1st. So that all the chance of cold weather or frost is gone. So different people have different ideas and different concepts. You know, I found that it was interesting that as I read our passage for this morning, that Jesus was using some of these same principles in a parable to speak to those people that were coming after him. You know, in verse 5, it says this: "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed," so he gives us a picture of this sower going out to plant seed in his field. And they did things very differently back in Jesus' day, and he refers to this. Some of you may remember the story about Johnny Appleseed. And you remember Johnny Appleseed would walk along, and over his shoulder he had a big sack. And in that sack were apple seeds. And he would go along and he would scatter apple trees. And actually there's some truth in this, especially here in the Cumberland Valley, of an individual that did just that, went out and sowed. And a lot of the wild apple trees that grow out there were the result of this individual that they called Johnny Appleseed. Very interesting. Well, that's kind of a picture of what Jesus was describing when he said a sower went out into his field. You see, their procedure back then was to scatter the seed first. Now, that would be very unusual for us to do today. Today, we want to go out and plow our fields, make our rows, do whatever else. In fact, now we even have machines that'll go along and plant the seed for us in those rows. I mean, all these things are part of technology, so we do it very differently. But in Jesus' day, the sower would go out, and he would take handfuls of seed, and he would scatter the seed. He would scatter it. And in the process, sometimes wind would blow and it would carry the seed into places where he didn't intend for it to go. Or maybe in his enthusiasm, he would throw it a little bit too far and it would get over into some areas that he really hadn't planned. But once the seed was out into the field, then he would take his plow, usually a hand plow or maybe tied to oxen or whatever, and then he would plow the seed into the ground. Plow it into the ground. This is part of the illustration that God gives us sometimes of the way that he sows his seed, the gospel, in our lives. And some of us can identify with that, where we heard with our ears and we embraced it in our hearts. And then God used life experiences to plow it into us so that we would believe and that we would trust in him. But you know, Jesus use this as a visual for the parable that he's about to teach. Jesus was a master teacher. He always used those things, illustrations from everyday life. And you know, he wasn't speaking to the elite. He wasn't speaking to kings and princes, although he certainly could have because he was greater than any of them. But he was speaking to the common people. And so he would use illustrations that they understood, that they could identify with. I mean, let's face it, he spoke about shepherds. And we know that there were many shepherds during that time. It was something that people could relate to. He talked about fishermen. And we know that there were many fishermen made their living by fishing. He spoke about farmers because everybody identified with the need to grow food. Many other life experiences that Jesus would use to try to captivate people's imagination and let them know this is like the kingdom of God. And he would use these in parables. You know, in this case, what we read this morning, Jesus was not giving lessons on how to farm. Instead, he was giving a parable that would reveal the human heart, the condition of the human heart. People have always asked this question. We ask it to this day. Why is it that some people hear the gospel, some people hear the word of God, and there's something inside of them that all of a sudden blossoms? It's like, yeah, that's really true. And they grab onto it. And somebody sitting right next to them could hear the very same message, and it's like, I don't believe a thing. I don't even know what this person's talking about. And this is what Jesus is helping us to understand through this parable. I have to say that it's probably one of the hardest parables that Jesus gave. It's difficult. Even his own disciples had a hard time grasping what it was that Jesus was trying to say. So Jesus gave this particular parable. We're just going to look at it from Scripture. He said, a sower sowed or scattered his seed. And in the process, he was throwing it out, and it was landing in different places. The quality of the soil had to be understood by the one sowing the seed. In other words, he wouldn't consciously throw seed somewhere where it wouldn't grow. Seed was too precious for him to do that. So he would try to make sure that it went in those places that were the most productive, the most fruitful. But he says that some fell on the path, on a hardened road. And as a result, it couldn't germinate. It would just lay there. And the birds of the air would come down and they would pick up the seed and eat it, be totally unproductive. And then he said that some fell on a rock, on rock. And you know, as we learn from the explanation, this rock apparently had a little bit of soil on top of it. And it says that it sprung up. It actually germinated and started to grow, but then as it grew, it didn't have a root system. It didn't have an ability to capture moisture, and so it would dry up and it would die. Then it says some fell among the thorns. And that's something that anybody that tries to garden in Western Carolina can understand, because we have these thorns in Western Carolina that are just unbelievable. They look like little tiny roses. Some of you may be familiar with this. And we asked about this, you know, how come there are so many of these little rose bushes all over our property and all over the property around us? And somebody said back in the 1930s, there was a group that came through with salesmen, and they convinced people that these rose bushes would make a better fence and would last forever than what they were currently using. And so people bought all these rose bushes, these thorns, and planted them all over, and they're very prolific. You know, the wind carries their seed, and all of a sudden you've got rose bushes everywhere. And that's what we have in Western Carolina. And because of that, you can't plant anything around those rose bushes because they'll kill it. They take all the nutrients out of the soil, and you can't plant around them. But then it also says there was some of the seed fell on good ground. It fell on rich soil, and as a result, it would yield up to 100-fold, 100 times. So if they planted a bushel of seed, they would get 100 bushels of grain out of that. And then Jesus said something very interesting. He said this loudly, clearly, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The Bible says that as he talked to them about this parable, he called out to them loudly. Well, this left everybody kind of in confusion. It's like, we don't understand what you're saying. His own disciples came to him, and basically they asked him two different questions at this point. And the first question was, why do you speak in parables? Why don't you just tell people plainly and clearly? Why do you speak to them in parables? You know, we have this here and also in Matthew chapter 13, where the disciples are asking Jesus, why do you speak in parables to the people? From a human standpoint, we want everybody to hear the gospel and hear and understand what it is that God is saying. It's very important to us. So we want to make it as clear as we possibly can so that people can't miss the truth, but they hold on to it. When the disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Jesus quoted Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And you know, he quotes this also, we read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 to 15. This is how Jesus answered. Matthew 13, 13 to 15. He said, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Instead, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but you will never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. These are the words of Jesus, Matthew 13, 13 to 15. See, that kind of flies in the face of everything that we have thought about God from the very beginning. And that is that God wants to clear away all the obstacles so that everybody can understand and everybody will come to Christ. But we know from experience, not everybody will. In fact, when he says that their hearts have grown dull, it means they've hardened themselves against my truth. And as long as their hearts are hardened, I'm not going to let them hear. I'm not going to let them see. And then he went on to say, to you it's been given. Your ears have been opened. Your eyes have been opened. Your heart has been opened. And when you hear, something resonates inside and you begin to grow and you apply it to your life. To them it has not been given. You know, this phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is found repeatedly in Scripture. In fact, it's found over 50 times in the Old and New Testament, where God is telling the people, open your ears, listen. He who has the ears, listen. We find it in Matthew 11 and 15, verse 15, Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 9. But in Revelation, the book of Revelation, in his messages to the churches, over and over again, Jesus tells them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Revelation 2, verse 7. Revelation 2, verse 11. 2, verse 17. 3, verse 6. 3, verse 13. It goes on and on, where God is saying, open up your ears. Open your heart. And this suggests that there are some that can hear and some cannot hear what God is saying. This is what the Apostle Paul said. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says this, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, basically, what Paul is saying is, it's not a question of intelligence. It's not a question of position. It's not a question of whether a person is a professor or a common blue-collar worker. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. For some, it's been given to hear and to understand and apply it to their lives. For others, it has not been given. You see, the gospel is veiled to them. You say, wow, that's very strange. Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And Paul begins by saying, and even if our gospel is veiled, so right there he's saying it is veiled to some. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So what's he saying there? He's saying that to some, the gospel, the truth of God is veiled. That's why you can have two people that go to the same service, the same evangelistic service, and one person hears and their heart is set on fire, and the person right next to him doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. And you wonder, how could you not respond to that? Because their eyes have been blinded and their ears have been stopped up and their heart has been full of, the actual translation in Isaiah says, it's full of fat. Can't function. So who is it then that has these spiritual ears? Jesus said, For those of you who have ears, listen. Who has ears? Who has ears? You see, we're told in Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are dead. Sometimes we like to think that we're just sick, that people are just sick with sin. But that's not what the Bible says. It says we're dead spiritually. And you see, that's a fulfillment of what God told Adam. If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. He wasn't talking physically. He was talking spiritually. And because of Adam, we're all born into that same dead spirit. Something has to happen to change that, to wake us up so that we can hear, so that we can respond. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It kind of reminds me, and I know this is a silly illustration, but you know, we like to watch that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And you remember in the very beginning of the movie, Clarence the angel is called in because it's his turn to go down to earth and to help somebody. And the big angels, the leaders or whatever, say to him, now just look at this right here. We're going to show you what's going to happen. And he said, I can't see anything. And they say, oh yeah, that's right. You haven't gotten your wings yet. And then they say, we'll let you do it. Well, now I don't believe any of that theologically. I need to know that. But it's an illustration. Because that's what happens to natural man. Natural man cannot hear and understand because something has to change before they can. And that something is, we have to be born again. We have to be born again spiritually. Jesus told that to Nicodemus right in the beginning of his public ministry. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he's speaking about spiritually. We have to be born into God's kingdom. There has to be something that takes place where we are converted. Instead of running off of this source of power, now we have to run off of that source of power. And when we do, everything begins to fall into place. Some of you have gone through a conversion experience, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I can remember the time when I professed faith in Jesus, and I meant it with all my heart, and all of a sudden, things began to come together and make sense that never had before. Hymns that I'd been singing all of my life took on new meaning. I could listen to a pastor. I could read scripture. It all started to make sense to me, whereas it never had before. See, that's what it means to get your spiritual ears. All of a sudden, a change has happened, and now you can hear what God is saying. You can believe it in your heart, what God is saying. So the first question that the disciples asked Jesus was, why do you speak in parables? Jesus told them, because for you it's been given to understand the things, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it's not been given. Why? Because they've hardened their heart. So the second question that they asked is, well, what does this parable mean? Give us a blow-by-blow account here of what you just said. So Jesus did. He gave an explanation. This is in verses 11 to 15 of the passage that I read this morning. He explains it. First of all, he talks about the seed itself. And the seed is the word of God. It's God's word. And it's being sown throughout the world. The gospel is going out everywhere in the world. And the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate everything if we allow it to come in. It's the word of God. And he says that when the word of God is being cast out there and people are proclaiming the word of God, others respond to this in different ways. First of all, the seed on the path. And by the way, I was interested to know that the hardened soil, the clay that they would use as a path, was called hardpan, because it was hard and it couldn't be penetrated. Hardpan, hardened. And seed that lands on that hardpan doesn't produce anything. It can't grow at all. And he says, those are the people that have heard the word, but they've not responded to it. And as a result, Satan comes and he steals it away so that they will never understand. The God of this world has blinded them, as Paul said. Then he said, there's some seed that lands on the rock. And again, any farmer knows that there are sections of his field where there are large rocks or stones, and they can be covered over with dirt. And so if the seed that falls there is going to spring up, but it doesn't have a root system. It can't go down and be nourished. And so over time, it dies. And that's the people, as Jesus said, those are the people that hear the word, they receive the word with joy, but there's no root. And then during times of testing, when their faith is being put to the test, they can't handle it anymore. They may give every evidence. Yes, I believe this. I trust in Jesus. But when hard time comes, then they fall away. That's a sad thing, and I can share with you a number of times that I've seen that happen. People that were active members, excited about the church, excited about the Lord. And then they go through a tragedy or a heartache. In one condition, it was a young wife and mother who was very active in the church, who led a women's Bible study, who was very evangelistic, reaching out to others, until the day her husband was killed in a car wreck. And she became bitter and hardened her heart against God and fell away. And it's so sad to see those things happen. Those are the ones that receive the word with joy, but when the hard times come, when the heat of the day comes, they can't take it. Then there's the seed that falls into the thorns. These are the people that hear. They hear the word of God, but they don't want to submit to it. They refuse to submit. Oh, I hear what's being said. I hear what, in fact, I know the Bible. I can share with you all kinds of Bible scriptures, but it never penetrates down into the heart. It never causes them to change, to repent, to surrender. And then when they have to face the pleasures of this world, the cares and the worries and the problems, and it's just choked out. These are the people that say, yeah, I tried Christianity once. I went to a church for a while and it didn't work. I say, man, I don't know what you were trusting, but it wasn't God. It wasn't the Lord, because he never fails. The seed falls among the thorns, and Jesus says, the cares and the pleasures of this world lead them astray. But then he talks about this seed that falls into the good soil. You see, there were parts of the field that had been prepared the year before, and it had been plowed, and it was still fertile. And as a result, when the seed would fall there, it would just explode in growth. In fact, Jesus said, it'll produce much more, up to 100 times what's actually sown. He said, these are the people that have been prepared by God's Holy Spirit. God's been working in their life. He's been digging deep into them so that when they hear the word, something goes off inside like, that's the truth. I know that's the truth. They hear it and they hold fast to it, no matter what happens to them. They build their life on it because they know it's a solid foundation given to them by God. Their hearts are open to receive the Lord as Lord in their life. You know, we hear a lot of people talking about the fact that Jesus is their Savior, but is he their Lord? Because he can't be your Savior if he's not your Lord. So, you know, when you look at the whole situation of what Jesus was saying, it wasn't about sowing seed. It wasn't about farming. It wasn't about any of these things. What it was about was the human heart, our heart. It's a matter of the heart. Have you ever asked the Lord to help you understand the things of his kingdom? Here we can see the disciples did that. Lord, what does this parable mean? So many people say, well, you know, I try to read the Bible, but it doesn't make any sense to me. I try to listen to sermons, but they don't mean anything to me. You see, that should be a flag going up. That should cause great concern. And I know that most of us have been at a point where we try to read the Bible and it just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Especially when you read the book of Numbers. Numbers doesn't make a whole lot of sense, it seems, and yet it does. But when we get into those situations, shouldn't we cry out to God, Lord, I don't understand these things. Can you open up my heart here? Can you give me spiritual ears so that I can hear your truth? Or do we just let it go? I think I shared a story with you one time about, I heard this from a pastor friend of mine. And he said that he was visiting this one home. And it was a young mother, and she had her 9 or 10 year old son was there with her. Husband was at work. And the pastor was talking to them about family devotions. And she said, oh, yes, yeah, we have family devotions. And he said, you know, do you read the Bible on a regular basis? And she said, oh, yes, we read the Bible on a regular basis. She said, Johnny, why don't you go into the other room and get that big book that we all love so well? And Johnny went into the other room and came back with the Sears catalog. You see, sometimes there are things that cause us to veer away. If we just ask the Lord, Lord, make it exciting to me. Make it come alive to me. I also know another person that was so excited about the Lord that they went to a public library. They got every copy of every Bible that they could find, and they brought it home. And they just said, it just doesn't make sense to me. Lord, open up my ears and my heart so that I can understand your word. And all of a sudden, it all came open to them. And they read and they understood. God became alive to them. Do we ever ask the Lord to help us understand? We complain that we can't understand, but are we asking the Lord to help us? You know, one of the saddest moments in Scripture is found in Acts. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. And I'm going to close with this. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. And it's a story of Paul speaking to Agrippa. Agrippa was the king. He was the Jewish king over that time. And Festus, the proconsul, had asked Paul to come so that he could present his case against the Romans as far as why he was justified in what he was doing. And Paul went through his entire scenario, all that God had done for him from the time that he was knocked to the ground and blinded. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord spoke to him, and all of his journeys and everything that he had done up to that point, he laid it all out before Agrippa. And Festus said to Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning has driven you mad. And then Agrippa, said to Paul, and this is the saddest thing. He said, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether in a short time or a long time, it's my prayer that you would know Jesus as your Lord." You see, that's where we are sometimes. What's it take for us to really surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus? Jesus called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we know that you have removed all the obstacles that we might come to you. Lord, I pray that this would be a clarion call, that those who have heard you with their spiritual ears would surrender to you and come to you and acknowledge you as the Lord of their life. I pray for each person here, Lord, and I ask that you would help us and encourage us by your Spirit. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you would, please stand and take your hymnal and turn to number 201. There is a Redeemer. We will sing the first two verses now and then the third one after the benediction. Please stand.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.